Counseling question 14. Explain the significance of Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 25, and similar passages for biblical counseling. Ephesians chapter 4 has great implications for how the born-again, new creature in Christ is to walk in a new, quote, manner of life, end quote, verse 22. It is a great testimony to how behavior modification falls so short in failing to effectively change a person according to God's standards. With statements such as, quote, do not sin, end quote, verse 26, and, quote, be forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you, end quote, verse 32. It is such a clear picture of what God requires from the transformed believer. It gives insight regarding repentance and bearing fruit for the Lord. In discipleship and counseling, this is our only way to notice whether or not people may indeed be saved by God. The world would be content with change that merely eliminates, reduces, or replaces a bad thing. However, biblical change begins by understanding and applying the gospel. Some people wrongly start their acts of obedience with the imperative, what we must do for God, leading to unbiblical moralism and legalism. However, we as Christians must always focus first on the indicative, what God has done for us in Christ, to understand the union that we share with Him at the cost of Himself. This understanding of imputation at the cross is the key to growth and holiness. The indicative evokes the proper imperative when prompted by the Holy Spirit. What should this look like in the life of a believer? The answer lies in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Change, according to God's word, is a two-factored process. As Paul exhorts the Ephesians to, quote, walk no longer, end quote, as pagans who, quote, practice every kind of impurity, end quote, he blames it on the, quote, hardness of their heart, end quote, verses 17 through 19. He then points out that they learned Christ. They, quote, heard him, been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, end quote, verse 20 through 21. He connects the dots that while change is exhorted, it must come from an overflow of a personal affection towards the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they have heard the truth and believe it, they are empowered to change. The remainder is where Paul gives the instructions on what this two-factored process looks like. First, he says that a Christian must rid themselves of their, quote, former manner of life by laying aside the old self, end quote, which was corrupted with, quote, lusts of deceit, end quote, verse 22. He accordingly says in verses 28, 29, 30, and 31 that he who steals, quote, must steal no longer, end quote, say, quote, no unwholesome word, end quote, stop grieving, quote, the Holy Spirit, end quote, put away all malice, end quote. In the picture of a U-turn of repentance, this is where the sinner must humble himself, stop marching proudly towards hell's gates, and commit to go another direction. However, the second part is the most crucial aspect. The Christian is not free to go down a new road to the left or right that leads to a different or more pleasant journey of unrighteousness. The second step is that for every one of those put-offs, there is a holy standard from God to put on. The Christian must be, quote, renewed and put on the new self in the likeness of God, end quote, which is all based on the, quote, the truth, end quote, verse 24. The liar must not merely stop traveling the road of lies and then pick up another mucky path. He must quit himself and the road of lies and make the 180-degree turn down the very specific, righteous road of speaking the truth with other people. Likewise, the thief doesn't stop being a thief merely once he stops stealing, but once he performs labor in order to, quote, have something to share, end quote, with another. Christians are to speak only that which is good for edification. Give grace to those who hear, being kind to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave them. Teaching this is foundational to counseling because, quote, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, end quote. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The counselees must be exhorted to live commandment-driven lives, not feeling-driven lives. This must be done out of thankfulness, so that the commandments followed aren't out of mere legalism. The picture of repentance is made clear. We must acknowledge the wicked desires we obey, stop, turn, ignore every other road offered to us that leads to destruction, and joyfully travel down the narrow path of life that requires only righteous living and thinking.